What you're listening to right there is a standing ovation. It happened last night at the Federalist Society convention dinner. This is only 40 seconds of it. There was much more. Who was it for? Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. That's who it was for. A standing ovation for the man who was victimized by progressives in their naked attempt to destroy his nomination to the Supreme Court and to damage the President of the United States. The man is appreciated by everybody who is a right-thinking, honest American. They saw what happened, they understood what happened, and they saw progressives and the Democrat Party for what they really, really are. A pack of wolves hungry for power. Wow, what a great way to start a Friday. Good morning and greetings from the Daily Perspective. I'm Mark Congleton, and I'm glad you're along today. Thank you for being part of the show. Thank you for joining the show on Facebook Live, where we are again this morning. And hopefully you will you'll enjoy what we have to offer here if you're new. And if you're not, thanks for coming back. Really do appreciate it. It's good to have you along. And hopefully you will share this with your friends. And let's get this family growing even larger than it already is today. So on tap today, so much stuff to talk about. It's funny how when I start trying to gather stories to bring to you in the morning, some days are like yesterday. Some days are fire hose days where it's just like, woo-hoo, wow, there's so much stuff to talk about. And then there was yesterday when the media gets consumed with a single story or there's really not that much going on. And it doesn't start developing until late in the evening. And sometimes I get up early in the morning and I open my accounts and look at my my resources. And overnight, there's been a lot of stuff happening. So today, I've got a pretty good stack, and a lot of it's going to end up going to our newsletter subscribers and not on the air, because I just won't have time for it. Hillary Clinton's back in the news. Rick Scott has declared victory in Florida. There was a recount there, and Andrew Gillum just will not concede. Obama-appointed judges are the ones who are handling the dispute in Florida and in Georgia. And we'll look at how important it is to appoint judges who respect the Constitution when we talk about that story. Senator Kamala Harris, California Kamala, she did something truly despicable. Hopefully we'll get to that. Plus, there is an upstart cable network who's decided to stand with the White House in the CNN lawsuit. That's interesting. And who knows what else we'll get to today. But first up, let's travel down the... Hang on here, I got to find out where I am. Oh, there we are. See, once again, too many tabs open. Let's talk about that situation with Hillary Clinton, shall we? A federal court has ruled that Hillary Clinton is going to have to answer questions under oath about the private email server she used while she was serving as Secretary of State during the... first 4 years of Barack Obama, his administration. This ruling, it was issued by U.S. District Court Judge Emmett Sullivan, stems from a lawsuit from the conservative watchdog group Judicial Watch. Now, I've told you before, if you want to know what's really happening underground in Washington, D.C., follow Judicial Watch on Facebook and Twitter. And if you want, you can subscribe to their updates that come to your inbox and email as well. Because they're constantly working on things, trying to peel back the camouflage, so to speak, in Washington, D.C., so that people can see the nastiness that's really under the surface. I hinted at this a little bit yesterday. Well, I didn't hint. I actually just outright said how nasty Washington, D.C. is. Well, Tom Fitton at Judicial Watch, he's wading in his hip waders with a shotgun, and he's not taking any prisoners. And he keeps filing lawsuits in Washington, D.C., and this is the result of one of them. Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton tweeted after this ruling. He said, "Court rules late today Hillary Clinton must answer more email questions, including key questions about setting up her email system. The hearing and ruling is the latest development in the group's Freedom of Information Act lawsuit, which seeks to clarify why former Deputy Chief of Staff Clinton, Huma Abedin, was authorized to work simultaneously for both the State Department and outside employment. This is according to a statement from Judicial Watch. Now, Clinton has 30 days to answer two key questions about her email system that she previously refused to answer. These are from a list of 25 questions Judicial Watch submitted. Here are those questions. First, describe the creation of the ClintonMail.com system, including who decided to create the system, the date it was decided to create the system, why it was created, who set it up, and when it became operational. That was question number one in this big list of them, 25 of them. And question number 24 was, during your October 22nd, 2015 appearance before the U.S. House of Representatives Select Committee on Benghazi, you testified that 90 to 95% of your emails, quote, were in the state's system. And, quote, if they wanted to see them, they would certainly have been able to do so. Identify the basis for this statement, including all facts on which you relied in support of the statement, how and when you became aware of these facts, and if you were made aware of these facts by or through another person, identify the person who made you aware of these facts. In other words, the twin scandals of Clinton's time as Secretary of State, her use of a private email server, and the disgraceful terrorist attack on Benghazi, Libya, and the Obama administration's politics-driven response to it, are back in the public eye. And that's right where Democrats, and particularly Hillary Clinton, don't want them to be. Don't expect the mainstream media to describe it in this way, but this ruling throws a wrench in the middle of Clinton's potential run for president in 2020. In fact, it's probably a disaster. After rumors began circulating that Clinton might start another run for president, she began making comments related to the Florida election recount, which suggests her willingness to stay in politics. She did more than comment. She sent lawyers to Florida, by the way. I don't know if you were aware of that, but Hillary Clinton sent lawyers to Florida. If that doesn't make your skin crawl and make you really suspicious, nothing will. However, Clinton is still haunted by the email debacle she tried to leave behind. After President Donald Trump was elected, Clinton laid low for a bit and tried to pretend like her email scandal didn't happen. But conservatives have not let Clinton forget about her extremely careless handling of emails. Voters held Clinton accountable in 2016, and voters will hold Clinton accountable again if she runs in 2020. Hillary Clinton's up against a monumental roadblock in her lust for power and her desire to gain her own spot in the Oval Office and in the history of this country. And that is that a lot of people in Washington, D.C. just don't like Hillary Clinton. That's the big thing. They won't say so. They'll talk admirably about her. They'll talk about how she's broken the glass ceiling. They'll talk about all of these things. They just glow when they talk about Hillary. But behind the scenes, people just don't like the Clintons. They just don't like the Clintons. And it's been going on for quite some time.
Wow. Hillary Clinton's asking us for money. Will her string of mistakes never end?
The hits keep on coming, but she'll never top Benghazi. That's her stairway to heaven.
Yeah, it's the kind of screw-ups that happen when you spend all your free time deleting emails.
The butt of jokes on sitcoms, on Last Man Standing. And she's been the butt of jokes for years. And that's sad. It's very sad. This is someone whose desire for power, I believe it's the reason she married Bill Clinton in the first place. I think she pursued the man, she wooed the man, she landed the man, because she saw his potential and she knew that she could ride his potential all the way to the top. And then she could pole vault off of that position, that the height of wherever they got to, and then keep climbing for herself which is exactly what she's done. She got all the way to the White House as the First Lady. And when she was out, they handed her the Secretary of State position in the first 4 years of the Obama administration. And yes, I said handed it to her. She didn't earn it. Go look at the records. Go look at how that all played out. Go look at the inside information, and you'll see it was all politically handled. They made sure she got the position. They made sure she got elected as a senator. They made sure she got elected or appointed as the Secretary of State. It was all just honoring her because she had been the wife of Bill Clinton. An interesting position for a hardcore progressive feminist to be in. That the only reason that she is known is because of who she's married to. But Hillary is not liked. People are not going to stand for her to be president. They know what she did and what the Democratic Party did to Bernie Sanders. They know what she has done in the past. They're tired of the Clintons. And like I told you recently, when it looked like she was putting her toe in the water and testing to see how things looked, I have friends in progressive friends in social media who started posting, oh dear Lord, no, things, just, you know, the articles, and they're rolling their eyes and they're expressing themselves rather bluntly about how they feel about the woman. The progressives are not happy with Hillary, but she's going to continue pushing forward. And Tom Fitton Judicial Watch is going to keep pressing forward with Freedom of Information Acts lawsuits. These two questions that he's asking, these 25 questions he's asking, they're giving them 30 days to respond to 25 questions. What will happen is that a team of lawyers will sit down and pore over these 25 questions, and the lawyers will craft answers. The lawyers will, it won't be Hillary. Hillary Clinton will not answer these questions. Her team of lawyers, her advisors, will answer these questions. They will craft the response and then send that response back. And she will have to study that response, and she'll have to learn her lines just in case she ever has to actually appear in court. That's what will happen. Will it make a difference? Judging by what we've seen happen so far, I doubt it. But keeping her transgressions in the public eye is important. It's important to keep reminding people that Hillary is crooked. Hillary, well, there's no other way to put this. She is an unconvicted criminal. She's an unconvicted criminal. She's someone that clearly has done things which are grossly illegal. And because of her connections to power, she's not in jail. Trust me, if you had done the things that Hillary Clinton has done without the benefit of who she knows and possibly what she knows about who she knows, then you would be in prison right now. I would be in prison right now. There's an old saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. In Washington, D.C., it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's not who you know. It's what you know about who you know. Was that confusing? Okay. In Washington, D.C., it's what you know about who you know. And apparently, the Clintons know a lot about the people they know. And in an effort to protect themselves, they protect her. So it'll be interesting to see if justice actually gets its day with Hillary Rodham Clinton. Just between you and me, because it's Washington, D.C., I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. But I can keep hoping. Hopefully you keep hoping too. And you come back after the break for more of The Daily Perspective. You're listening to The Daily Perspective with little old me, Mark Congleton. Good to have you along. It's a kind of a daily look into life, the universe, and everything as it pertains to what we see and hear in the news. And oftentimes what we do not see and hear in the news. And an encouragement to appreciate absurdity for what it is. Because honestly, life can be just absurd. Just absurd. That whole situation with Jim Acosta, by the way, that's absurd. We'll get to that hopefully in just a little bit. Have you subscribed yet to the Daily Perspective newsletter? What are you waiting for? I made it simple. Just go to the social media accounts. Go to Facebook. Go to the Daily Perspective Facebook page or the Mark and Mac Show Facebook page. Click the subscribe or the sign up button, and there's a form. It's so easy. You fill out the form, and then from then on, the show notes come to you. They come to your inbox, and you get the expanded deluxe edition of the show notes, I must add, because what you get is everything I stacked up to talk about for the show, including the stuff that didn't get on the show. And often, my little notes, reminders for me to, hey, don't forget about this when you're talking about this story, and the like. And from time to time, odd little missives from me about my thoughts on what is happening in the current events. And there may be a story we cover that I didn't get to really dig into from time to time. And I may comment on that further during in the newsletter each day. For example, yesterday I was thinking about pointing out something I left out about the Florida elections. And the thing that I left out, I talked at length about why people keep voting for the same people. They're uninformed. They just go back and vote for the same people again and again. But the key to that, actually, and I am listening to the show later because I do that. I listen every day and slap my forehead and go, God, why did I say that? But I'm listening later and it hit me. I really should have pointed out that what they're doing is they're just checking off the boxes next to the people with the right letters by their names. So they keep voting for the D or the R, but they're not looking at what's really happening. So they keep voting along party lines. They keep being faithful to the party, but the parties are letting them down. And what they need to do is dig a little bit deeper and find out what's really going on with the parties. And that way they'll have a better idea how to more wisely cast their votes. But most people don't do that. They just go in and they vote for Democrats or Republicans. And usually it's because that's what their parents did. Or, if you're a millennial and you're rebelling against the world, it's because your parents voted the other way, so you're not going to vote that way. At any rate, get the Daily Perspective newsletter, sign up today, and get more insights into what is actually happening in the news. Oh, my goodness gracious. Speaking of that election situation in Florida, Rick Scott, according to the Washington Times, has declared victory. Florida has ordered a manual recount in the Senate race. Boy, that whole situation is very hinky, too, especially Broward County, where they got their results in 2 minutes after the deadline. And as a result, I don't know if you're aware of this, they're not covering the details of this in the alphabet media. They're just not. The recount, the hand recount that they just did, the one they just finished, that they were entering and were 2 minutes late on, actually put Scott further ahead. And they managed to somehow miss the deadline by 2 minutes. And so they had to go back and fall back on the numbers previous to that, the previous results, which didn't put him as far ahead. Oh, there's nothing fishy about that whatsoever. Well, Florida's Republican Governor Rick Scott declared victory in his Senate bid for a second time yesterday after a state-mandated machine recount widened his lead over incumbent Democrat Bill Nelson. But Mr. Nelson's legal team, insisting there is not one universe of votes, vowed Thursday evening, last night, to press on and predicted their candidate eventually will emerge as the winner. Ha, I'm sure he will, as long as they allow them to continue recounting the votes and finding them in people's trunks and under houses and in the bellies of slain anacondas. They will, and falling from space and the like, they will find these votes that they need. They will be coming out of everywhere. Seriously, they will. Magicians will be on stage. They'll be at the villages in Florida performing for senior citizens, performing magic acts. They'll open the big box where previously there was nothing, and what's there? Thousands of votes for Bill Nelson. It's a miracle. They'll find the votes if they give them enough time. Anyway, while the election results are not official until certified by the Secretary of State, a move that should come after the Elections Canvassing Commission's November 20th meeting, that's 4 days away, the unofficial recount expanded Mr. Scott's edge by 865 votes and leaving him with a margin of 13,427 votes. That's a bigger edge than any recount in U.S. history has overcome, but it's less than the 0.25% threshold required for a hand recount. Secretary of State Ken Dresner on Thursday ordered that the manual recount for the Senate and Florida's agricultural commissioners races, he ordered a recount for those, but that's going to involve hand reviewing all questionable, provisional, or mailed-in ballots that, for one reason or another, had been rejected at the polling place or proved unreadable in machines. The governor's race did not fall within that threshold, so it appears Republican Ron DeSantis will be certified as governor November 20th, failing a legal challenge. Ah, there we have it, the legal challenge. The Democrats' favorite way to win an election lately. The legal challenge. You can count on there being a legal challenge. You can almost bet money on it. Take that lottery ticket you went and bought and bet it on this, because there's probably going to be a legal challenge. Outside the recount, potentially more votes will still have to be tallied. For example, while ballots from overseas military and civilians must be postmarked by November 6th, the deadline for receiving them is today, the 16th. In addition, a flurry of court activity set in motion since Election Day has left some ballots in limbo. That, by the way, is by design. The fog created by legal activity will throw a lot of stuff into limbo, both for and against desired candidates. Mark Elias, he's Mr. Nelson's lead recount lawyer, said in a conference call with reporters, "We never thought there was a silver bullet. One thing. There's not one universe where all these votes are coming from." Really? Okay. In particular, Mr. Elias pointed to the coming hand recount, which he said very well may reverse it entirely. What does he know? But the Democrats also are seeking to change Florida's law, which they say contains an absurdity in that the extension granted to overseas voters does not apply to domestic voters who sent in ballots postmarked by November 6th. Okay. Earlier Thursday, U.S. District Judge Mark Walker extended the state deadline under which voters can clear up questions about their mailed-in or provisional ballots, usually raised by issues with signatures. The cures for these ballots, to use Florida's term, is now 5 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday, under the terms of Judge Walker's ruling. Mr. Scott appealed that ruling, but it was upheld by the 11th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals just after 5 p.m. The issue of voters' signatures caused Mr. Nelson's campaign to sound like a boardwalk hawker in a fundraising blast Thursday afternoon. Gosh, this is so bad. Quote, "Has your signature changed over the years since you first registered to vote? Have a disability that affects your handwriting? Suffer from eyesight loss? Changed your last name? If you answered yes to any of the questions above, then you could be denied your right to vote, and that's why our legal challenge of this disenfranchisement law is so important." Wow. Mr. Elias defended the poring over signatures and the divining of voter intent that will take center stage over the next several days as a crucial element of ensuring every vote is counted. That's something they keep saying, that every vote must be counted. And nobody is disagreeing with that. They would have you think so, but nobody is actually disagreeing with that. They're just adding a word, and that word is legal. There's been a lot of shenanigans going on in the background. The Democrat Party has done some fishy, shady things. The Democrat Party in Florida, that is. And you're not getting all of the picture. Now, there is more to this particular story, and I want you to read it, which is why you need to check the show notes every day. I want you to see the rest of the story and the stories connected to it, because I will not get to all of it during this hour. But you need to know what's actually happening, and you need to know from sources that are not in bed with a particular political party. You need to know from sources which will point out Republican idiocy as well as Democrat idiocy. There is a truly independent source of information. It's on the internet. You can find it, which is one reason the Democrats want net neutrality so badly, so they have more control over what's happening. Government has more control over what's happening online, and they can prevent you from finding the information you can easily find. But that's another story for another day. But check the show notes today. Find out more about what's happening. Open your eyes and see how politicians care more about power
than you. It's Thursday night.
Was interesting. I turned my back, and all of a sudden, I heard bumper music play, and a commercial cut off, and my computer's got the hiccups. I don't know what's going on. At any rate, let's move forward with the Daily Perspective. Hopefully, let's see here. Let me do something here to make sure that nothing unusual happens. That ought to do it. Today's edition of the Daily Perspective is coming to you on Facebook Live, as well as you'll be able to get it on the podcast. The ways to listen are changing. In fact, if you have been listening to the web stream, that's gone as of today. And I've told you about that a few times this week, because it wasn't financially feasible for us to keep doing that, because just not enough people. People were dropping in out of curiosity and listening until they figured out, oh, it's politics, and oh, it's pro-Trump, and so we were just catering to a tiny, 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 tiny number of people that just didn't make it financially feasible, and many more people were checking in with Facebook Live and the podcast. The podcast is a monster. A lot of people are checking in with the podcast, and I would encourage you to subscribe to the podcast. Go to iTunes or the Google Podcast app and subscribe to either the Daily Perspective or the Mark and Mac Show. Either one, it's the same content. It will come to you to your mobile device, to your computer, wherever you listen to podcasts, and it comes every day. And there's a big library of them. You can go back and check through them. If there was something that you missed you'd like to hear again, you just go back and find one of those shows. That is the primo way to do that. So I would encourage you to go back and check through the podcast and actually sign up for the podcast. That is the great way to do it. And also, just for the fun aspect of it, to join on Facebook Live in the morning, because that's fun. It's fun to see people checking in and to then look back later and see. Honestly, there are many more people, because I get the stats. I get the viewer/listener stats on Facebook Live, and just a handful of people will check in and will comment and sometimes chat with each other in the comment line. And I'll look later and see that a lot of people were actually involved. They were actually listening. They joined in. They just weren't commenting. So hats off to you who are lurking. Thank you very much. Glad to have you here. All right, we were talking about this crazy Florida election, and let's see, we were talking about that Washington Times article. Now the Orlando Sentinel has another article about this, about the recount that Andrew Gillum is not conceding. There's this all this stuff going on, so let me just dive into it very quickly. Amid a dizzying horror of legal action, questions over uncounted ballots, and the failure of two South Florida counties to meet a deadline, a machine recount produced little change in the overall results to three statewide races yesterday. Even so, the U.S. Senate and Agriculture Commissioner races are headed to manual recounts, results of which are due to the state by noon on Sunday. Certification of the official election results is scheduled for 9 a.m. next Tuesday. In the governor's race, the recount showed that Democrat Andrew Gillum trailed Republican Ron DeSantis by 33,683 votes, a net gain of one vote for Gillum from the unofficial results reported last week. The margin was 0.41% out of more than 8 million votes cast. That's outside the 0.25% threshold needed for a manual recount. Although the lead appears insurmountable, Gillum would not concede and called for continuing to count. He stopped short, however, of filing a lawsuit to demand that. He said, "A vote denied is justice denied. The state of Florida must count every legally cast vote. As today's unofficial reports and recent court proceedings make clear, there are tens of thousands of votes that have yet to be counted. We plan to do all we can to ensure that every voice is heard in this process." Let's be clear about something about what he just said. He said there are tens of thousands of votes that have yet to be counted. He's giving the impression that there are tens of thousands of votes. There are thousands upon thousands of votes which we don't know about yet. That's the impression he's giving. The truth is that there are tens of thousands of votes which have not been recounted, which have not been through the hands of people who will verify questionable, damaged, suspicious votes. That's what he's talking about. He's not saying, in truth, that there are thousands upon thousands more votes for him. The margin is so high. Historically, he can't overcome it. It's never been done. But that's not going to stop the progressive politician from continuing his campaign to find ways to win this election. It's really, really, really shady. The machine recount in the Senate contest between Nelson and GOP Governor Rick Scott saw Scott's lead grow by 41 votes. That's a margin of 0.15%. That's enough for a manual recount. Scott urged Nelson to forego the hand recount and concede the race. He said, "Our state needs to move forward. We need to put this election behind us. It's time for Bill Nelson to respect the will of the voters and graciously bring this process to an end rather than proceed with yet another count of the votes which will yield the same result and bring more embarrassment to the state we both love and have served." In fact, by the way, as a sidebar, there was a judge that ruled in one of these lawsuits refusing to move forward in certain ways. He actually said, "Our state is the laughingstock of the world right now because of all of this." And he's right. He's absolutely right. For Agricultural Commissioner, Democrat Nikki Fried held a 5,307 vote lead over Republican Matt Caldwell in that race after the machine recount. She got 19 more votes for, he gained 19 more votes. Still, I mean, 19 votes. It's just drips and drabs here, but I don't see it changing much unless there's more funny business. And the thing is that you and I, we've seen so much of this happen that we just naturally assume there will be more funny business. Meanwhile, a spate of seven lawsuits in federal court, along with a string of other cases in local courts throughout the state, continues to bedevil Florida's attempt to settle its elections. U.S. District Court Judge Mark Walker chided the state and Palm Beach County election officials for not anticipating issues with the election. This is what I was talking about. He said this: We have been the laughingstock of the world, election after election, and we chose not to fix this. He said that in court. So they have known about these problems. I don't know if you've picked up on this, but the state of Florida has known about these issues, these problems. They've seen this happen before. They know there are issues, and they haven't fixed the problem. In Palm Beach, the county's election office was unable to complete a recount because of malfunctioning vote counting machines. The county had to revert to its initial pre-count numbers as part of the new statewide results. Elections Chief Susan Butcher announced Thursday at the 3 p.m. deadline as it passed, "It was a heroic effort. We just completed uploading our Saturday results as was required by law." Broward County election officials missed that deadline by 2 minutes, like I told you just a little while ago. So state officials used their unofficial totals reported last week. By the way, those previous totals were better for the Democrat. Not enough, but better. Hillsborough County also decided not to send its recount results to the state and reverted to its original pre-recount numbers due to what its canvassing board believed were machine issues. Walker denied a request from Nelson to extend the deadlines for machine and manual recounts. And this article just goes on and on. There's even more of this. And you need to, as I said before, you need to look at this. We've been watching this going on, and it's more and more obvious that the Democrats will take any and every opportunity to seize power. And power is the main thing about this. Power. They need those Democrats in the Senate. They need those Democrats in the House. They need Democrats wherever they can get them, in order to seize power. Now, what we're looking at for the next 4 years, even if Nelson goes back, we're looking at, essentially, in the House, we're looking at gridlock. In the Senate, we see Republicans gaining a little bit more, just a little bit more. But the Senate is where it's really important. See, the House can propose things. The House can write legislation. The House could be 100% Democrat, but it's got to go from the House to the Senate, and the Senate has to look everything over and approve, disapprove, modify, and then eventually it ends up going to the president's desk, where if it doesn't meet the criteria he's set forth for what he would like to see, or if it's unconstitutional in his eyes, he can veto it. So what's going to happen over the next couple of years is essentially gridlock. But when it comes to appointing federal judges, that's falling to the hands of the Senate. That's why more Senate Republicans is very important, because conservatives making decisions about conservative judges on the federal court level will make a big, big difference. They've made some strides. They have made some strides, and that's a good thing. But there needs to be more Republican conservative senators in order to make the process more streamlined, in order to make it simpler, in order to make it faster. Because the Democrats are stonewalling. They've been trying very, very hard to prevent the appointment of conservative judges on the federal level. Because there are a lot of Obama-appointed federal judges out there who are making decisions in election races like this. It's happening in Georgia right now, where Obama appointees, who are progressives first, the Constitution is a problem for them. And where it's inconvenient, they will find a way to sidestep the Constitution. In other words, they ignore the law while making judgments on the law. That's progressivism. Remember what I've said. Progressives believe wholeheartedly that they are intellectually and morally superior. So if the law is inconvenient for them, it's wrong. If the Constitution is inconvenient, if it contradicts their views, it's wrong. Barack Obama famously said that the problem with the U.S. Constitution was that it was a document of negatives. It prevented government from doing the great things it could do. Trust me, there is a reason that the Constitution there's a reason it all says, it says so many times, multiple times, Congress shall not. It says it so many times. I forget the number of times, but that phrase is in the Constitution so many times because our founders knew that politicians, once they were entrenched in power, would use that power to their advantage for the sake of more power. They had watched it happen in Europe. They had watched it happen around the world. They had studied. They had been in these countries. They knew what they were talking about when they wrote these things. They argued it out for years. Read the Federalist Papers. You'll see their reasoning, their rationale. You'll understand why they wrote what they wrote and why we have what we finally have. They knew what they were talking about because they had seen things fail before, and they weren't going to allow that kind of failure ever again. So they weren't just kind of shooting the breeze. They knew what they were doing. So here we are. We have people filing lawsuits. We have weirdness going on. We have the courts being involved. We have Democrats and their lust for power. And I want to talk about power when we come back. And it's all playing to one designed end. And that designed end is for Democrats to gain more power, because power and control is what it's all about when it comes to Democrats. Power and control. Why? Because they're morally and intellectually superior to you. So they have to be in control. They have to have that power for your own good. It's just wonderful, isn't it? More when the Daily Perspective continues. You are listening to The Daily Perspective, and I'm glad you're here. Hi, Mark Congleton. You've just popped in. We've been talking about elections and all kinds of things. We're going to shift gears now because I want to show you an example of Washington, D.C. and how terrible it actually is. You know, we talked about this to a degree yesterday.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You won't find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. And here comes an example. Kamala Harris, Democrat, Senator, compared ICE, the Federal Deportation Agency, to the KKK. She did this yesterday. She drew a fierce retort from the agency's acting director, who said there is no equivalence between patriotic officers enforcing the law and a racist mob bent on violence and intimidation. The exchange came as Ronald D. Vitiello, the acting director at U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, appeared before the Senate Homeland Security Committee, which is considering his nomination to become permanent ICE director. Mr. Vitiello chided sanctuary cities for refusing to cooperate on deportations, promised to work on pay issues for ICE officers, and demanded respect for his employees, who he said deserve not to be pilloried by politicians, the press, or activists looking to score political points. Minutes later, Ms. Harris, a California Democrat who's eyeing a 2020 presidential bid, said there are many people who perceive ICE officers as similar to KKK thugs in using violence and intimidation. And here is a little bit of how that went.
Are you aware that there's a perception that ICE is administering its power in a way that is causing fear and intimidation, particularly among immigrants, and specifically among immigrants coming from Mexico and Central America? Are you aware of that perception?
I do not see a parallel between the power and the authority that ICE has to do its job.
Ed, the context is that's Ron Vitiello.
And he's absolutely right. There is no comparison between the two. None whatsoever. Now, she went on and on and on trying to trap him and get him to admit that the ICE was essentially the KKK. Also, I don't know if you noticed this, but she used the word immigrants. Legal immigrants, people who are in our country legally, people who have not overextended their visas, their work visas, people who have gone through the process and become naturalized, who are citizens, people who are here legally have nothing to fear from a law enforcement agency like ICE. Nothing to fear. If you're not breaking the law, you don't have to watch out for the cops. It's really that simple. But she keeps using the word immigrants. It's the illegal immigrants, the people who are here because their work visas have expired, but they didn't go home when they were supposed to. The people who pled for asylum and were given a court date, but never showed up in court. The people who snuck across the border and have managed to get through the net, and they're working all over America using false identification, fake social security cards, and the like. Those people, those lawbreakers, those criminals, they do have something to fear from ICE because they are breaking the law. But Kamala Harris from California is desperate to make her mark. She is desperate to make an impression. Because she's looking at political power as a result. She is desperate to get her face in the news. She's desperate to make that impression. Well, the impression she's making to the thinking, rational, honest, reasonable person is not a positive impression. Now, to your progressive, liberal, Democrat friends, she's a hero. Because she's pointing out something egregious, something horrible, something wrong. The government power is just wrong, wrong, wrong. What are they doing? They're hurting these poor immigrants. These illegal immigrants. There, I fixed that for you. I used the proper word. These illegal immigrants. Oh, well, no person is illegal. Okay, these criminals then. What do you mean they're criminals? Well, they're criminals because they've broken the laws of more than one country. To be in our country. That's why they're criminals. You can have compassion on for people all day long, but compassion outside the bounds of reality is deception. It's delusion. And what gets me is I have had people slap back at me in social media and actually during radio programs for pointing out that these people are here illegally and that they're breaking our laws, they're putting a strain on our system, and they need to be sent back where they came from because they need to come here the legal way. They need to stop breaking the law. We'd like to have them here if they can follow the legal process, if they can become part of our society and not part of a sub-society. That's what we'd like. We value people to come here. We want it to happen. As I've said before, we're not locking our doors at night because we hate our neighbors. We're locking our doors at night because we love our family. We want to know who's coming in the door and why. But when people like Kamala Harris are in the spotlight, they are the advocate for the oppressed. Remember what I said recently? If you're a progressive, in the world, there are three kinds of people. There's the oppressed, or the oppressor, or the advocate of the oppressed. And in Kamala Harris' eyes, in her own mind, she is the advocate for the oppressed. And the oppressed are people who are breaking our federal laws, the laws of our sovereign nation. They're coming to this country and they're becoming a burden on our system. They're in emergency rooms all across America seeking health care. They're compassionate organizations doing what they can to help. And that's where I was going a few moments ago, is I've been read the Riot Act by people who contribute and who actually work with these compassionate organizations, saying God wants us to help these people. It's just terrible what they're going through, and the heart of compassion reaches out and we have to help it. Okay, you can best help these people by making sure they're obeying the law. Because if you're helping these people, then you're making sure they continue to break the law. It's like feeding that stray cat. That stray cat's going to keep coming back to you for food. And the next thing you know, you've got a cat. It's time to wise up. Not only to that situation, but to people like Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is playing a nasty, nasty game. And what she did to this guy was horrible. And she should be held accountable for it. She should be held accountable for it. And hopefully she will at election time. Hey, that's it for this week. We'll see you back here Monday morning for the Monday edition of the Daily Perspective. God bless you. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.